Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fortcast, the official podcast for Fort Healthcare. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ear, nose, and throat doc, and also serving as president and CEO of Fort Healthcare. I'm very excited today because my guest is Dr. Ryad Moussatef, our cardiologist here at Fort Healthcare. Today, we're going to talk about atrial fibrillation, which is a very common cardiac arrhythmia, an abnormal heartbeat. And so I am very excited to have Dr. Moussatef. Dr. Moussatef, I've been with the organization for roughly 20 years, and I'd love you to introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about your background, and I know you've been part of Fort Healthcare for several months now, but just give us a little information on Dr. Moussatef.
Dr. Anderson, thank you for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it. I've been with Fort Health for approximately 3 months now, but being from Kenosha myself, it does feel like home. I'm actually from Wisconsin. I'm born and raised in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I did all my training at UW-Madison. I did my undergrad training there in biochemistry and zoology, and then I went on to medical school there and completed that degree. I'm not going to tell you when, because I'm feeling old already, but let's just call it a long time ago. I went on to do internal medicine, and I was a chief resident, and I went on to cardiology and was a chief fellow for 2 years in a row, and then completed interventional cardiac and vascular and structural. I'm actually board certified. I was board certified in internal medicine. I've let that go. And I'm currently board certified in cardiovascular disease. I'm board certified in interventional cardiology. I'm board certified in nuclear cardiology. I have a board and registered physician vascular interpreter. So I read all the vascular studies, and I specialize in all heart disease, including cardiovascular disease like heart attacks, valvular disease, and vascular medicine, as well as some electrophysiology stuff that we do. So we kind of old school general cardiologists, but nowadays they make you have all this fancy paperwork with it. And so from Wisconsin, never left the state, so I'm happy to be here.
I'm just going to summarize all of that by saying you're an expert, okay? That's just kind of what it boils down to me, and I feel we're very fortunate to have you as part of our healthcare team, and our patients and community are very fortunate to have you as well. So I'd love to start talking about atrial fibrillation. So obviously I'm an ENT doc. I see this a lot on patients' chart. It seems to be a very, very common arrhythmia that a lot of patients have. I was hoping, Dr. Moussatef, you could just start by telling us what exactly is atrial fibrillation.
So first, thank you for your kind words. I appreciate that. And you're right. A lot of people who are going to listen to this podcast are either going to have AFib or know somebody who does. Atrial fibrillation is the most common arrhythmia that we have. And most of us, if we live long enough, are going to develop it. And I'm going to talk to you about what it is and how it works and what the problems are. But atrial fibrillation, the heart is divided into two halves. The top of the heart are called the atria, and the bottom of the heart are called the ventricles. And this arrhythmia starts at the top of the heart. And it turns out that heart arrhythmias can happen at all different areas of the heart, but this one in particular happens at the top. And because the top is called atria, this is called atrial and fibrillation. And the word fibrillate is almost like quivering. You just kind of quiver. So the normal heart, the top of the heart will squeeze first. That's why you've heard the expression lub-dub or tick-tock for a heart. So the top of the heart will squeeze first and push all the blood to the bottom of the heart. And then after that does that, the bottom of the heart will squeeze second. And they go lub-dub, lub-dub, top and bottom. In atrial fibrillation, the heart is quivering and it never actually squeezes. It can't squeeze. And so the top of the heart just stops. And that's atrial fibrillation. Okay, well, what's the problem with that? Well, there's two problems. One is it can cause strokes. The second one is it makes people feel bad. They can feel fatigued. They can feel short of breath. They can pass out. And as I already mentioned, they can get strokes. So those are the two problems. You can feel bad or you can develop strokes. And people say, well, how does that work? Well, it turns out that the top of our heart, the atria, also have what I would describe as a love handle. It's called the left atrial appendage. So the left atrial appendage hangs off the top of the heart like a love handle. And normally, because your heart is squeezing at the top, the blood in the love handle just keeps getting flushed out. But when you're in atrial fib and the top of the heart is not squeezing, that little love handle is just full of blood that's not moving. And Dr. Henderson, you know what happens to blood when it doesn't move, it clots. And so the blood will clot in the love handle. And then every once in a while, your heart will squeeze. It'll flush that clot out. And if it goes up to your brain, it causes a stroke. And so that's why people are put on blood thinners for atrial fib to prevent that from happening.
So this is potentially a very serious condition for people to have. And I totally get the love handle reference. I myself experienced some love handles. So that's going to be forever seared in my brain, the heart's love handle. And that's where clots can occur with this arrhythmia. And then the clot subsequently gets pushed through the heart and then up to the brain. And that's when you have your stroke.
Exactly.
So if somebody has atrial fibrillation, do they experience symptoms that would bring them to a doctor or an emergency room? Or is this something that's somewhat picked up organically on an EKG for another reason?
So the answer would be both. If you're going to be symptomatic, some people, believe it or not, and God forbid, present with a stroke. That's their first symptom. We don't want that. Others will present with your heart pounding or racing. We call them palpitations. But they'll come in saying, my heart's going fast or skipping beats. Some people can faint. Some people's blood pressure can be low. Some people can have chest pain. So they present with a whole array of symptoms. And then there's the other half of the people that have no symptoms at all. They just go to their primary or they get seen by a doctor and then somebody does EKG. And the EKG is just an electrocardiogram. And that's like what you see on TV. And most of us have had done with the little squiggly paper with the squiggly heart signals that we call that an EKG. We do that test because it can help see what type of rhythm you're in and it can tell us some other information. And so sometimes it just gets picked up with that. And then they need to be assessed and they need to be assessed for their risk of having a blood clot because not everybody needs to be anticoagulation. We see the patient and we have formulas to tell us what we should do next.
And that's a very important point. I was hoping you could expand a little bit on potential medical treatments for atrial fib and then maybe touch base on, I hear a lot of terms like cardioversion and stuff like that. Could you please touch base on those?
So what we do is, remember, as we just discussed earlier, atrial fibrillation is the top of the heart. It's quivering and it's doing it out of sync with the bottom of the heart. The heart should go lub-dub. Top of the heart squeezes, then the bottom of the heart squeezes. A normal heart, Dr. Anderson, beats, as you know, between 60 and 100 beats a minute. If your heart is slower than 60, we call that bradycardia. If your heart goes faster than 100 beats a minute, we call that tachycardia. So when your heart is in AFib, the top of the heart, believe it or not, is probably beating at 300 beats a minute. Now, because it's trying to go so fast, five times its normal speed, it doesn't actually move. It just quivers. And that's where that word fibrillation comes. No blood moves in the top of the heart. Now, the amazing thing is that you don't die with that. The bottom of the heart is able to keep you alive. It's able to suck the blood from the top of the heart, even though it's not helping it by squeezing, and circulate that through your body. But if bottom of your heart was to go 300 beats a minute, you would die. And within 3 minutes, you would have brain damage and there'd probably be no coming back from that. So your heart actually has a circuit breaker in the middle of the heart. And that circuit breaker has a fancy name called the AV note. And it knows that 300 beats a minute is ridiculous and it ignores it. But sometimes the signal's so fast that your heart can go a little quicker. So the reason why I told you that long story was to tell you that some people will present with AFib and the bottom of their heart is going too fast. Not 300, but it might be going 120, 130 beats a minute, or 140 beats a minute. And so the first thing we got to do is slow that down. So we slow that down with medicine. And then, depending on your risk, we'll give you blood thinners. Now, when we treat people with AFib, we really have two roads. Like we're at a fork in the road and we either go right or left. And one way is that we leave you in AFib, and we just control your heart rate. We keep the heart rate between 60 and 100. We want to do that through medicine to prevent that signal from the top of the heart telling your bottom of your heart to go 300. We don't want that to ever happen. We treat that with medicine. The other style, and what we always try with people, is called rhythm control, where we try to put you back into a normal rhythm. And we do that through different ways. We can give you medicine that can give you a normal rhythm. Or, and we're going to do that right here at Ford Health, and this gets done across the world, we can actually deliver a small shock to somebody's heart and reset it. We actually set the dominoes back up, and that's called cardioversion. And we really try to give people a try of being back in a normal rhythm, and we can do cardioversion for that.
So if somebody goes through the cardioversion route, are they sedated for that? Are they asleep or are they fully awake?
Yeah, so this is a small shock that we give, and we put people to sleep. We don't do full anesthesia where you're intubated, but we do something called conscious sedation, or there's some other words for a little bit deeper sedation. We use anesthesia, and we put you to sleep so you don't remember it. We don't want you to remember it. But the procedure itself, the actual shock, is less than 5 seconds. It's a quick procedure, so it's not like you're under for a long time.
It definitely sounds like something I wouldn't want to remember. So it's probably good to have deep sedation. How successful is it, the cardioversion?
Well, that's a great question, but it's a little bit more difficult to answer. We do convert most everybody that we try. Whether you stay in your normal rhythm or not has a lot to depend on the patient and their comorbidities, all their other disease problems, and how long they've been in AFib. Some people are in AFib for years. It goes undiagnosed. And the heart itself gets stretched out. And a lot of times we can see that by ultrasound. For example, I had a patient today, without giving any information away, but she was an older person and had been in AFib for years. And we did do an ultrasound of the heart. And the heart to me looked pretty stretched. And so after my discussion today with that patient, we decided not to even try because I didn't think it would be successful. But most people were able to be successful. And even if we're not, we're able to add certain medications to it and do it again and be successful. So we really try to give it a go if we can.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful option for patients, whether it's rate-controlled atrial fibrillation, which is, I think, what you were referencing before with the medicines and keeping the heart rate down versus the cardioversion. It sounds like two very good options for patients. Now, if you are successful at converting somebody out of atrial fibrillation, need to continue to be monitored, or do they have to have an EKG every so often, or is it mostly like, hey, have a nice day and come back when you have problems?
Unfortunately, we have no cure for AFib. If you have the diagnosis of atrial fib, and this message is really to everybody listening because you hit on an important point, you never get rid of atrial fibrillation. And more importantly, your risk of having a stroke, which is calculated by your provider, is with you forever, whether you have been converted to normal, whether we've left you alone and we're just controlling your heart rate, or whether you've had something called an ablation where they've gone in and tried to burn it away. Your risk of stroke is the same always. And so if your risk score is high enough, your provider would put you on a blood thinner. What I've seen happen, and what I don't want any of our listeners to do, is, oh, I'm back in a normal rhythm, I feel good, I guess I can come off my blood thinner. And that answer is no. So we don't cure it, but we can make it feel better. And we think that's better to do.
Well, Dr. Moussatif, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today on the ForTCast podcast to discuss atrial fibrillation, what causes it, treatments for it, because I know it's extremely common. So if any of our listeners have any questions or have atrial fibrillation or a loved one that has atrial fibrillation, please make sure you follow up accordingly with your primary care physician or provider, or even make an appointment with Dr. Moussatif. Dr. Moussatif, thanks again. I greatly appreciate it. I want to thank all of our listeners. Once again, I'm Dr. Michael Anderson, signing off on this episode of the ForTCast. If you found it helpful, please share it on your social channels. And for a full podcast library, please check the Ford Healthcare website. Thank you. Take care.